I'm in the Open University, and a corridor lined by people involved in certain types of psychology. Who are you?
My name's Rosalind Searle.
And what is your role here at the Open University?
I'm a senior lecturer in organisational psychology.
Organisational psychology, what does that mean?
That means I'm interested in organisations and the people that live in them.
Okay, so what have you been finding out recently?
Well, I'm very interested in organisational trust, which if you're a BP at the moment is kind of very topical. But it also, if you're the government and you've just discovered a letter that says there's no money left, is extremely topical in terms of how you repair trust both with your constituents but also with people within that organisation that you're going to be asked to making $6 million worth of saving.
So you're saying it's not necessarily in the interest of the organisation, be it government or a business, to screw their employees?
Well, I would say that an organisation who takes the view that they're going to screw their employees, to use your words, is actually having a very short-term view of their business. And whilst that might give it dividends in the long term, the work that we've been doing certainly shows that organisations that want to be here in maybe 3 or 5 or longer term need to think very carefully about trust.
3 or 5 years, that's quite short-term repercussions for people who aren't investing in trust within their organisations, isn't it?
It is, and if you look, for example, at businesses, particularly, say, the telecom sector in India, the way that particularly one of the main organisations there has built their business is based on trust. So they actually don't own the mast, they don't own the software, they don't own very much at all. So in terms of the cost of that business, it's very, very low. But in terms of the profit that they're generating, it's huge. And the way that they're doing that is through partnerships with other organisations that are based on trust relationships.
Wow. So are there any examples closer to home of organisations doing it right?
Well, for example, Apple would be a good firm to look at. So if you look at Apple and you look at your apps, again, those apps are based on a trust relationship with a whole range of different suppliers who've got a really good idea. And Apple are creating a trusted platform for customers, but also they're creating a trusted forum for people to put high quality apps onto.
But if you look at Apple's lack of trust when it comes to giving any information at all about up and coming releases to any member of staff within Apple stores, that's a very different story, isn't it? Does that not matter as much?
Well, it may matter, and I think it's a disjunct there between Apple headquarters and Apple marketing maybe versus Apple within, I don't know whether they run as more of a franchise basis within their stores. I mean, the work that we've been doing looks directly at the impact of trust in terms of the performance of organisations, but also indirect performance. So where you have high trust in organisations, people are willing to go that extra mile. They're willing to share information between each other. They're willing to do what's called citizenship behaviour. So they'll stay late. They'll give you advance warning of things. They'll go that little bit further because they feel that they have a partnership with you and a vested interest in doing something to help you as an organisation. So going back to an example like BP, if you were BP at the moment and potentially, and I don't know because I haven't studied them, but you can imagine if they had a higher trust environment, they might have found out sooner that there was a mistake and that something had failed, because we know that people that trust organisations will put their hands up and say, we've got a problem here, sooner.
Better communication within the various echelons.
Absolutely, and people feel that they can say, I've made a mistake here, and not be castigated for it. And we can see this in a whole range of different contexts. For example, in hospitals, looking at mismedication of patients, if you have a trusting context, people are much more likely to say, I think I've got a problem here. They're less likely to sow something into somebody, and much more willing to say, within a team context than within an organisation context, we've got a problem. Which means you can sort out that problem before it hits your customer.
Yeah, but also, in that case, it's pretty serious.
Well, from BP's perspective, usually serious. But also it means that you can identify ways and situations that you could innovate and improve in, either creating new products or making new ways of creating those products or new processes in the firm.
So if employees have massive trust in what they are doing, i.e. their job, i.e. the product that they might be dealing with. So let's go back to Apple, for example. A lot of the employees there are massive fans of the technology anyway. Will that go some way to alleviate a maybe lack of communication or lack of trust between management and employees?
Well, what we know is that trust in organisations often is about the organisation as an entity, but often it comes down to the relationship between the line manager and their staff. Mm. Because if you like, they personify and they enact all of the processes for the organisation. So they're like the kind of touch it of the organisation. Mm. So if there's something wrong in their relationship with employees, then it will have a wider impact on the organisation as a whole.
How do you see the Open University fitting into this? Is there a hierarchy that is being trusted here along the lines?
Well, one of the things that's come out recently is the very high survey that indicates that the Open University is actually a preferred employer. And for me, again, we don't include trust scales within our survey, but that would suggest that it's an organisation that people feel trusted, and that's likely to be an organisation where there's a lot of open communication. And we know when organisations are facing potential downturns and having to lay people off, the more they can communicate so that people understand those processes, even though they're being potentially laid off, the more likely they are to trust it because they understand the process, they understand why it's happening.
Okay, so what top tips could you give right now to the people in power in these organisations into how they can gain more trust from their employees, and ultimately, probably the thing they're more interested in, earn more money, make more profit?
Well, I think it's about having good communication processes. One of the studies that we've done looked at different processes that are involved in organisations. In particular, we looked at human resource management ones and identified a range of processes that help people feel certain, secure, and that the organisation is competent. But also what was quite surprising there was we came out with the fact that control systems, so when you have sanctions, enacting those sanctions, so if you say we're all going to do this and somebody doesn't do it, making an example of that process, that person, so that people understand that if they do step out of line, then there are consequences for their actions, is actually very important in people seeing the boundaries of the organisation and understanding that if people do not play the party line, they will be punished for it.
Mm. Fascinating stuff. What do you expect to be discovering in the not too distant future? I know that's a really random question, but what avenues is the research taking you down that your eyes are being opened at?
Well, we've been very fortunate that we've just done a couple of big studies with our students at the OU, and again, we're really grateful for having this wonderful pool of employed people, because often studies that take place using student populations are people with a hypothetical context. And what we've been looking at is employees joining a firm, so trying to understand what makes people join the firm and the role of trust there. And in particular, we're interested in a personality dimension called propensity to trust. And what that means is that some people see the world in a more rosy way and they see people as more trustworthy generally. Now, this isn't about being naive, it just means that you see things in a positive light. Mm. And what we've found, and other research has found, is that this type of employee is actually much better at sharing resources when resources are scarce. They're much more likely to cooperate. And also, they look at the world slightly differently. So they need much more evidence that somebody isn't trustworthy before they'll start behaving in the same way that they're receiving that information. So what we're trying to look at is what role that plays in how people receive information and then how that can help organisations attract and retain staff. Mm. So, for example, we're just hopefully starting a project looking at social work. And if you look at social workers, you're less likely to stay as a social worker if you've had more than 8 years' experience. So that means that something's going wrong in the relationship between the organisation and the social worker.
They must be losing all of their most experienced, their best practitioners.
Well, they're losing their best practitioners. They're also wasting valuable training resources that somebody else could have taken up and hasn't. But also it's having a huge impact potentially on very vulnerable children and very vulnerable families.
And the reason for this, that you're still to fathom?
Well, we're hopefully going to start a study looking at that process. And in particular, this is you know, why trust matters. If you can attract the right people and retain them, it means that your money for that training and development is very well spent.
And an incredible knock-on effect when you think of all the people relying on those social workers to be good at what they do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
Is there anywhere online or offline people can go to learn more?
Well, it's good you said that. We've actually got two web resources. One is called Trust in HRM, and that's available at the OU, and that's an ESRC-funded seminar series that we've got, and we've got download audio podcasts of lots and lots of the presenters that we've had to that. And related to that, with my colleague Denise Skinner, we've got a book that's forthcoming on that that will be out in the spring of next year.
What will that be called?
And that will be called Trust in HRM. And then secondly, we've got a web resource looking at organisational trust, and we're just about to start a big project over the next 4 years all across Europe, gathering together information and different things about this area, because we think it's really important.
Brilliant, thank you very much. And no doubt there will be some links on the Open University's platform website, which is open.ac.uk/platform, I believe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.